Well, good morning. I'm going to see if you pass the test. He is risen. He is risen. All right. A couple of quick announcements for you, really quick. You missed a great sunrise service if you weren't there this morning. And I tell you this, when we honor God, He blesses us. It was a beautiful sunrise that came up over the trees and stuff. So it was really nice. Want to bring your attention to two things that are not in your bulletin. This Wednesday evening, we will have a Pathway to Discipleship meeting. We had one this past Wednesday with Matthew Gibbs, who's a representative from the Georgia Baptist Convention. But basically what it is it takes a person from being a visitor at our church to being a leader at our church. And there's lots and lots and lots of steps to go in between there. So we're meeting this Wednesday. We had a really good turnout this past Wednesday to just brainstorm ideas where we are as a church, where we need to go, and try to develop a strategic plan to do that. We'll be meeting it for at least the next two Wednesdays and maybe longer. If you can join us for that, we'd love to have you. If you need more information about that, please see me after the service, and I'll try to give you that. Additionally, I want to bring your attention to April the 19th, which is 2 weeks. We'll have a combined worship service, and the purpose of that is we'll have Lord's Supper also, but the main purpose we're doing a combined service is after that service, over in the fellowship hall, we will be serving, the youth will be serving a lunch for anyone who wants to come. And that is a donation that you will make, and it's a fundraiser basically for their youth mission trip in the summertime. So please plan on eating dinner here, and we'd love for you to take whatever you would normally pay for dinner and donate it to the youth. All right? That's all I have. If you would please join me as we prepare our minds and hearts for worship. He is not here. He has risen. Luke 24:6. Will you join me in prayer, please? Father, thank you so much for this glorious day, and what a day it is, the meaning behind your resurrection. And Father, you are not in that tomb. We invite you to be here with us today, though, as we lift up your name, worship our risen Savior, and thank you for all the things you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand and sing with us as we celebrate that He is not here, He has risen.
God the glory. We are so excited that we are the house of the Lord today. And everybody probably has a little Easter egg right here. And if you have not received one, or some of our children will give it to you. And there is Jesus right here. He's right here. Not only is he here, but he's also right here. And we give God the glory. We give God the glory. We are excited. We're praying for revival. Amen. I want to thank everyone who helped with the Easter hunt and also with the sunrise service. We had a great time. Thank you for all that helped. We are excited to be in the house of the Lord. And if you are here the first time or second time, or if you have a prayer request in your bulletin, there is a care card. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll definitely be praying for you. I know you have someone in your heart this morning that you would like to mention before we go ahead and lead in prayer. Who's in your heart? Just voice the name of the person, please.
Sandy. Ricky.
Father, we come to you this moment and we thank you so much. What a special time it is. You're alive. You have risen. Overcome death. Father, we are so excited, Father, that we can call upon you. We know that you're alive, and we thank you. Father, we have special people in our hearts, friends, family members, Father, and we want to lift them up to you right now, Father. Father, will you do a miracle? Just like that tomb is empty, will you do a miracle right now in their lives, whatever they may be? Whether it may be in a hospital or at home, or Father, whether it may be in another country. Father, we pray for a miracle today. We give you all honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen.
In the quiet of the morning, we remember the weight of the cross, the silence of the tomb, and the depth of his sacrifice. Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Let us remember the depth of what was given for us. Love poured out, mercy undeserved, and a life laid down. He chose the cross above all.
Above all,
Father, thank you so much for the love you displayed to us when you died on the cross. But more importantly for us, Father, the power and authority you displayed when you rose from the grave. May we be reminded and allow your power to move within our lives in day to day. Thank you for this time where we can give back to you a portion of what you've given to us. And Father, we pray that you'd bless it, that your kingdom would be moved throughout Peach County, Fort Valley, the state of Georgia, and our nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. He is alive. He is risen. We give glory to God. We are so excited to be here this morning, and we're going to dive into the Word. But before we do that, we study maybe about a year and a half, I believe, and we spend a lot of time praying and asking the Lord, Lord, give us a vision statement. Give us a mission statement. Lord, give us some core values that will guide us and move us forward. And so this morning, we have the great honor and pleasure to have Mr. Everett. Everett is going to come today, and he's going to read for us our vision statement. Come on, Mr. Everett. Hey, I like your shirt, man. It looks really nice. There you go.
To be a family of faith that glorifies God.
He memorized it. Wow. Well, thank you very much. That was great.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Okay. Who's second? Who wants to do the next one? It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. This is a special time of the year where we celebrate what the Lord is doing and what he's going to do. And we are excited that we are going to dive into the Word of God and celebrate with millions and millions of believers around the world who right now they're celebrating. They may be in different times, obviously, but we are here to celebrate the risen Lord. And I'm going to ask you to look for Matthew 28, verse 6. And once you find it, I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's holy word. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lives. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house. Oh, what a joy it is to celebrate, to join hands and Father, voices with brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world as we celebrate our risen Lord. Father, we thank you for giving us the great blessing to be in your house. May you speak to us, speak to our hearts today as we dive into your word. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Can you join me, please? Three times. He's alive.
He's alive. He's alive.
I think you need some Cuban coffee this morning. But it's so good to be in the house of the Lord and celebrating. Had a wonderful morning with our brothers and sisters in Christ from our community. And today, now we're going to dive into the Word of God. And what is the meaning of the resurrection? What is the meaning of the resurrection? And how does it really impact my life? How does it impact your life? How does it impact the life of the whole world? And so we're going to dive in. Of course, the first thing, Christ's resurrection means victory. Victory over sin. It means victory over sin. Romans 3:26 says, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. That means all of us, every human being, has fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ, when he was raised from the dead, Jesus Christ, he gave us victory over sin. He gave us victory over sin. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, and the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us the victory. Romans 6:12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey its lust. So there is victory. We have victory over sin. Sin cannot rule over us. We have the power to overcome because Jesus took and went to the cross. Listen, and he took our sin. He nailed it to that cross. And then he rose from the dead on the third day. And we have victory now. There are things in our life that will come. They will come. I was working on the yard one of these days this week. You know, it's that time of the season again to cutting grass. I'm thinking about getting some goats. That way I don't have to cut grass anymore. But I don't know if my neighbors would like that. They may just call the police on me or something. But anyway, hey, listen, those mosquitoes, they got me good today. They really got me good. They were waiting for me. Oh, here comes Dennis. Let's get them. And they sure did. They got me. But, you know, sometimes there are things in our lives that come in our way, and we think we can't deal with them. We become complacent at them. And there is sin that just kind of creeps in. It may be bad words. It may be alcohol. It may be pornography. Any of those things that just come our way. And listen, you and I have the power to overcome that sin that is in our life. Listen, God has given us the authority to overcome those things that come in our way, to overcome that sin. He's given us the power. He did it. He raised it from the dead. He took our sin, and he raised on the third day. I am sorry, I had some hot sauce from Mexico this morning in between services here. So it wasn't the Cuban coffee this morning. It's that hot sauce from Mexico. I don't know the side effects. You will know soon. But anyway, so it's exciting to be here in the house of the Lord. But the Lord has resurrected, gave us victory over sin. You see, all have sinned, and we all come short of the glory of God. Listen, nothing that we do. You can do good deeds. Hey, listen, if we were having Thanksgiving next week, you could go and give turkeys all over this community. And listen, you will still fall short. You can give toys to all the poor children in this community, and you still fall short. Listen, because we negate what Jesus did at the cross at Calvary. He paid the price. He created the bridge between us and the heavenly throne. Do you know that we can talk to the Lord right now? And listen, that prayer is gonna go sky high, straight to the throne of God, and he will listen to us right now. If you talk to him right now, he'll do it. He's listening to you and to me. So there's the Christ, the resurrection means there was victory over sin, but there is also victory over death. There's victory over death. Romans 6:13 says, he says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. We're alive. We're not dead. We are alive. Because he lives, we are alive as well. You're alive. Listen, when you give your life to Christ, when you open your heart to Jesus, and the Spirit of God comes to live in you, you are alive. You're just like Jesus. You're just like Jesus. He's alive, and you're alive, and I'm alive. And you don't need hot sauce from Mexico. You don't need Cuban coffee. You're alive. Just wake up in the morning and praise the Lord. Everybody with me this morning? So we're alive. He gave us victory over death. He's right here. And I love the way John 5:24 puts it. He says, and most surely I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and should not come to judgment, but has passed from death to life. Can you imagine? What power is this? What power is this? The moment that you give your life to Christ, the moment that you open your heart to him, the moment he gives you the Holy Spirit to come inside of you, he says you have gone from death to life. If you have given your life to Christ, you have gone from death to life. You are alive. When you and I go to Walmart, you were like walking in the cemetery. Somebody with me? You go to the flea market, you're shopping at the cemetery. You're alive. You're not dead. That's why the devil is behind you and chasing you and causing all these problems, because he hates Jesus and he hates us too. And you know what he doesn't want you and I to do? He doesn't want you to pray. Because prayer is the most powerful tool God has given us. That's the most powerful tool. Now, you try it when you go home. You try to pray for an hour. I'll bet you probably fall asleep like I do. One time, I got on my knees over there. Next thing you know, I had a red dot right here in my forehead from the sofa. Every time you read, you try to get into the scripture because the devil knows you're alive. He said, I got to try to distract him. Les and I have been in homes, and I said, we're going to read the Bible. Somebody starts yawning. Somebody with me? Anything spiritual. You know why? Because the devil knows you're alive. You're alive. You say, he's eternal. You and I become eternal when we give our life to Jesus. That's what happens. So, there's victory. Victory. When you and I pass, the devil is going to come and say, he is mine. And Jesus said, nah, he's got my blood. He's got the marks of the resurrected. To be dead here, to be alive in heaven. When we close our eyes here on earth, whether it be Peach County, whether it be I-75, whether it be Houston County, Emory Hospital, listen, that moment when a believer closes their eyes here on earth, he will open them in glory. What a hope. We have hope in our Lord. He's given us hope. We don't have to worry about what if, what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. Jesus is waiting for us. No more sin. No more cancer. No more tax. Praise the Lord. I think I'm having some side effects from that hot sauce now. It's kicking in now. Christ's resurrection validated our Christian faith. He validated our Christian faith. 1 Corinthians 11:17 says, and if Christ has not been raised, it's all about the resurrection. It said, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. That means useless. And you are still in your sins. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, and we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to obey, to be in absent from the body is to be present before the Lord. All religious leaders, they're dead. You can go, and there is in the tombstone, from this day to this day. We were up in Colorado, and we went to see the burial site of Buffalo Bill. Anybody remember Buffalo Bill? There we were. We learned, by the way, that he was supposed to be buried in another state, but somebody offered money to his wife from Colorado. We'll give you some money if you bring the body here and we bury him here. How about that? They want to make money out of us. I'm sorry, gentlemen. He's just part of the history books. Think about all the religious leaders. They're dead and they're gone. But our Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead the third day. Just like he said, he's alive. We don't follow someone dead. We're following someone that's alive and well. And he is the same one yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same one who opened the Red Sea. He's right here, right now. He's alive. He's right here, right now. He's alive. He validates our faith, our Christian faith. We have believed in someone who's alive. He's alive. He's alive. So what happens when you and I open our hearts to Jesus? Or maybe we did it back many years ago, or maybe you did it last week or 2 months ago. Revelation 3:20 says that he's at the door and he knocks. He's knocking at the door. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to give you his very essence. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you who he is. God is eternal. He's the same one. The one from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the one who is here alive. He's the same one. And he says, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Will you open your heart? If you open your heart to right now, I will come in and I will dine with you and I'll stay there forever. Listen, that's what transforms a person. It's not a good 10-step plan. Jesus says, if you come to me, I'll give you eternal life. I'll give you something better. I give you myself. I give you myself. That's what I'm going to give you. So he's at the door. He's knocking. Maybe he's knocking in the middle of the night. Maybe he's knocking in the middle of the day. Maybe he's knocking when you're at work and you're frustrated. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to do with your life. You tried everything. Maybe you have become even a millionaire. You got so much money, you don't know what to do with it. Maybe instead of a dog pet, you got a zebra pet. You got all the money in the world. You're still empty inside, though. And that's what Jesus does. He fills the heart. He takes care of the soul. And he's the only way he could do it. He's the only way. He's the only one who could do that. No one else in this world will give it to you. Everything in life, you know that, is things that are temporary. They're temporary. But what the Lord gives you is eternal. He gives you himself. He gives you himself when you open your heart to him. He fulfills you. He gives you peace like no one can give you peace. He gives you joy like no one can give you joy. We have moments in this world. They're good. They're good. We feel good when we get a new car. We feel good when we go into our new house. We feel good. But you know the bills are coming and all the joy is gone. How many are with me? Something breaks down. Just this week, garage, he said, I said, oh, maybe I just need to fix a little thing here. He said, the whole thing is bad. This thing is hopeless, he said. Oh, my. There goes my joy of going up and down with that thing. That's the way it is. It is the same thing with people. When we get married, we look forward to that day, and it's a wonderful day. But, you know, we got 50% divorce. Those moments are gone. And then he said, well, our joy is my children. As we say in the South, at the youngins. But then they go and they move out. And then grandchildren come again. And they say, oh, that's my joy, the grandchildren. They are a joy. But you know, at the end of the day, you come back to home plate again. And you're empty again. You open the heart. If you open the door of your heart, Jesus will fulfill you. He'll give you the peace that the world cannot give. Only he can give. So what happens when we open the door? He's not going to force himself in. You personally have to turn the knob. He just knocks. If he knocks, you have to say, not just say, welcome, come on in, but you got to get up and turn the knob. And you turn the knob and he comes in. And this is what happens. He comes to live in us. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to you. See, it's about coming, God, coming to live in us, coming to reside, coming to live. That's why when you're a believer and you got all these problems of life and all of a sudden you're like, why do I have peace? I don't understand. I should be running to the bank, getting a loan. I should be doing everything I could, and yet the Spirit of God's got a hold of you, and you just stay still. Like Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. He lives in you. He gives you that peace. God himself comes to live in us. And when you have Christ in your heart, it's like you're going fishing. I like to fish with those plastic fishing floaties. I call them floaties. Some are called bobbers, I think is the name. And they're there, you know, and you get a bite. How many fishermen we got here? Just a couple. Now, I love to fish now. I can be in the water all day. I just love the sport. Just playing with that fish, you know, he pulls. And I said, okay, I'll get you next time. I got to get my money back from this worm that I bought, by the way. So I'm getting you out of the water, sir. Start talking to the fish and things. People think you're nuts or something. Anyway, but when he starts biting, guess what it does? The floaty goes down. It goes down. What do you do? You pull. You know, that's what happens to a believer who has Christ in their heart. You're like a little floaty in the water. It's underwater just for a brief time, but you have resurrection power in you. You're not going to be there long. It's coming. It's coming. When you're a believer and you have the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, you're not going to be there that long. Listen, next thing you know, you're back on the surface again. And you look back and say, that was Jesus. He got me out. Amen. Who's with me? Two people. Well, that's great. I have a great crowd today. Praise the Lord. Everybody else gets Cuban coffee on the way out. You have the Spirit of God. How did that happen? God says, I got you. I promise I'll be with you till the end of time. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I got you. I know what you're going through. Maybe no one knows your problem. God knows your problem. Maybe you think nobody cares about you. God cares about you. Maybe you think nobody loves you. God loves you. He's got you. You belong to him. You may be underwater just for a little bit. But listen, you got resurrection power. You're coming out. You coming back to the surface. There is that side effect from that Mexican sauce I ate this morning. Ooh. You're alive. If you are a believer, say, I am alive. Put an exclamation point to it. I am alive. Praise. We're not dead. He's not dead. We're not dead. We're alive. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where it's at. This is temporary. Temporary. But he lives in us with an expectation to bear fruit. He lives in us with an expectation to bear fruit. In that last week, prior to his crucifixion, Jesus, on his way, said in Matthew 21:18, He said, now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. That's the second time that Matthew mentions hungry. The last time was when Jesus started his earthly ministry, and the Spirit of God led him to the desert, and he said he became hungry. Now, towards the end of his ministry, he's saying, I am hungry. The same word, same statement. And so what happens? And he's seen a fig tree by the road. He came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And said to it, let no fruit grow in you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. He died. The fact that you and I have the Spirit of God, the Lord has an expectation of you and me, and that's to bear fruit. You're not just any citizen. You and I are heavenly citizens. And there is an expectation from God to give fruit. Victory and nothing in it. Nothing but leaves. What do you have? Ever since you gave your life to Christ, if Jesus came by you right now, then you say, oh, there's something in you here. Oh, there's a lot in you here. Or would he say, there is really nothing in you here? What have you done with your life ever since I came and lived with you? Are you more loving? Are you more patient? Is there more affection in you? I've told you about my grandmother, how rough she was. No time out with my grandmother. How many of you remember those days? You still remember, still pain. It'll get you even if you look bad. If you cross your eyes a certain way, she'll come after you. She told you to do something, and you just a little bit of frown or anything, you're getting it. She had an expectation. The folks in my family are going to be respectful citizens of this community. Jesus has expectations for you and I. You have resurrection power in you. You have the Spirit of God living in you. There's expectations for you and I to give fruit. There's got to be changes, not here in church. We're the leaves. The real Christianity is at home. Amen? Drive-through, McDonald's drive-through. Just pick it up and eat it at home. See, me and you and I only spend 2 or 3 hours a week here. When that man that had all those demons wanted to follow Jesus, he said, go back home. That's what the transformation's got to be. Are you patient with your loved ones? Are you loving? Are you respectful? Do you tell them you love them? Do you tell them you appreciate them? Are you thankful for what God has given you? Are you thankful for the house you have and the car you drive? Are you thankful for your husband, for your wife? Are you thankful to the Lord for giving you children? Are you thankful for your children? Do you pray for them? Do you encourage them? Do you hug them? Do you tell them that you love them? What would Jesus say if he came by you? Do you have any fruit today? Would he find fruit in you? Would he find the fruit of obedience? You know, at the end of the day, it's all really all about obedience. Are you are what God wants you to be? Are you obeying what the Lord is saying? You saw what had happened right before that, before the fig tree. Jesus went into the temple. In the temple, it was supposed to be a place of prayer. Now it had become a commerce. For our local understanding, it became a flea market. Jesus turned the tables and said, "What have you done with my house?" Would Jesus say the same thing about us? We need to be seeking the Lord. We need to be calling upon the Lord, like Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call upon me and I will show you things." Oh, you need to call upon me. Call upon the Lord. But there was also an expectation, not only of fruit, but there was an expectation for the kingdom to grow. There was an expectation to grow the kingdom. Acts 1:8. It says, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you." He said, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." See, not only are we to bear fruit, but we need to expand his kingdom. We need to tell other people about Jesus. We need to tell other people about his love and about the joy that he gives and he brings. We need to tell people that Jesus saves, that he can transform their lives. He can transform their marriages and their homes. He can transform it. He can transform a life. He can give you a new life. We got to think about the kingdom. We got to take the gospel. In Acts 13, we find the church at Antioch. That church produced Paul, Barnabas. And there were so many leaders there. It's really not about us. It's about the kingdom growing. It's for God's kingdom to grow. We need to be kingdom-minded. And we need to be kingdom people. It's not about us. It's all about him. Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all the honor and all the glory. You live forever. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, you conquer death and you conquer sin. You want us to give us a new life. Is there anyone here today? You have a prayer request. Or perhaps today you want to say, "Lord, I just want to give my life to you, Lord. I'm tired. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I need you just to guide me." Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus will go with you. He will come and live in you. He's knocking at the door, and maybe you just need to say, "I am going to turn the knob today." As the music leads us, what's in your heart this morning?
Stand and sing with us. I come to the cross.
Out of my weakness.
God the glory. And God's people say, Brother Bob, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?